good to see you this morning. Couple of real quick announcements that I want to give you. If you are a guest today, thank you for being here. Right in front of you, there's a Connect card. We'd love for you to fill it out. Drop that in the offering box a little bit later. It'll be on the wall as you leave, or you can bring it by, and I'd love to be able to meet you. And if you'll exchange that card with me, I'll give you a little gift, just something to say thank you for being here with us. Our members and regular tenders, you continue to tithe and give your offerings, and you be faithful in those areas that the Lord has blessed us with. In your seat, or right near you as you came in, there is a sheet about all of our adult groups. I would love for you to grab that, all right? Make sure that you pick that up. We talk often around here about how important it is for you to get in groups. And we've made a way for you to be able to see all the different kinds that are available. So you plan to get involved in one of those, you can go to our app or on the website, and you can click right there, see a little bit more about them. If you hit, I'd love to know more about it. That group leader is going to get an email. They'll reply to you and help you get plugged in. You may go, man, I'd love to talk to somebody about leading a group. Shannon Stevens, who helps to give some leadership and direction to our groups ministry. Howard Kofer, those two men, they would be able to help you get involved. You can see that we have women's groups. We've got men's groups. We've got discipleship groups that meet right after this on Sunday morning and on Wednesday night. We've got all kinds of ways for you to be involved. On the back of that, there are some QR codes. If you're not sure what a QR code is, you can go back out. We'll help you get that figured out, but it will let you be able to download the app and our men's groups and women's groups areas. Those are the places you're going to see the most important things that we are really pointing you towards. There are all kinds of things you can get involved in, but through there, you're going to see all kinds of things. So I'd love for you to be involved. You pick up one of these. You join a group. That is so essential in us being able to walk this road together. Also, we are very much mission-oriented and mission-minded and being about mission. We send people around the world, but we don't just want to go around the world. We want to reach the world that the Lord has placed us in right here. And we have an opportunity. We have a couple of our deacons, Rick and Amy Kasanovic. You may know them. They've been around here for years and years. And they are leading a ministry called First Friends. It is an international ministry, international groups on MTSU. And they host dinners. They do English exchange. And it's a way to have opportunity to walk in the lives with the tangible presence of Christ. And on September the 6th, our church is hosting one of those dinners. And there'll be we need food for about 75 people. We're having a taco bar. And we want you to be involved in it. We're asking our small groups, our discipleship groups, we're asking you to get involved. And we need a lot of food. We are asking, one of the ways you can be involved in that, again, as you go out the doors right under that TV at the back, you're going to see Alan Longbreak. Alan Longbreak is a part of First Friends. We have a little card there that'll help you get registered, and you can choose what it is that you would like to be involved in. So would you please make sure and stop by and get involved in that? That is huge for us. Again, when I say that we're involved in mission, we want to continue to prove that out. I'm going to ask Abby Jones. Abby, come up here. Abby is one of our young adults. She has been involved in our kids' ministry. She's been worked in preschool ministry. She's involved in our student ministry. Abby is leaving this week on Thursday. She is leaving on Thursday to go and be a semester intern in our Brussels church. She'll be working with young adults, she'll be working with students, she'll be serving in all kinds of areas, she'll be being further discipled by people who are there. And so as she's getting ready to leave, what I'm going to ask that we do, like we always do when we send somebody out, I want to pray over her, and I'm going to ask that you join with me as we do that, and we commit that we're going to remember her and intercede on her behalf and keep in communication with her. So if you would you stand? And if you are comfortable doing this, I'm going to ask that you lift your hands to the Lord as we go before him and we commission this woman. Father, I thank you so much for Abby. I thank you, Father, for how you have raised her up in this community, Father. Lord, I'm thankful for the way that she serves here. I'm thankful, Father, that she's not going somewhere to become a missionary. She's already that here. She's serving, she leads, she's discipling and being discipled. And Father, I thank you that that will continue there. And Lord, I ask right now that you would give her graces as she goes. I'm asking, Father, that you would give divine appointments as she travels. Father, I'm asking that in these last couple of days, as she's wrapping up things here in Murfreesboro area, Father, that these would be sweet days of fellowship and remembrance. Father, as she's received on the other side, Lord, I'm asking that, Lord, you would help her to adjust quickly. I'm so thankful for the privilege that we get to send and receive. I'm thankful, Father, that we get to watch as you do incredible things with Abby as she ministers and as she is ministered to because of her faithfulness and because of your faithfulness. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. Abby, we're so very proud of you. We're thanking the Lord for you. You can have a seat. On your way out today, as she gets out there, as you see her, would you tell her that you'll be praying for her, and we'll see her back sometime, probably around Thanksgiving, somewhere in that area, and she'll be coming back to us and continuing her service. Last week, I asked you to pray for our family. And you so faithfully did that. I want to hopefully be able to introduce to you somebody. Do you guys have a picture of... let me get out of the way. This is Grayson William Goen, and that's his pop and his Gigi. Pop has the blue glasses on, just in case you were a little concerned there. And that is... Gigi right there, and we are so very thankful. She had a very long little process. She went out on a Sunday night late, and it was Tuesday at 3 when the little boy came around. He was pretty comfortable where he was, and so through a C-section, we now have a brand new, and the gift of the Lord, a brand new little boy in our family. So thank you so much for praying for us and for praying really for Grace and Evan. And so we're thankful for that. I'm going to ask John Key. John, would you come on up? There's a mic around here somewhere that, they're working for that right now. John Key is going to be leading us today in our scripture passage reference reading. And John is one of our leaders here. I've known John for quite a while. John and Elizabeth were instrumental in Amy and I being a part of the Brussels church, helping to get that started. He was a missionary with the International Mission Board. And today he serves with the Southern Baptist Foundation. And so as we continue on, Colossians 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 15 through 23. Would you stand as we read the Word of God this morning? John?
Kyle, I'm glad you said it's Colossians. If it was, is it
something? I have no idea. testing. How about that? It's on.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad we're in Colossians. And if you were stirred by the words that Zion read to us from Hebrews 1, get ready. It's just coming more from the Lord. Beginning in verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister, received the word of the Lord.
You can be seated. Our 33rd president, Harry Truman, in 1948 was campaigning, and he was in Iowa at a rally, and he was taking some ferocious hits back and forth. There was people misrepresenting his, in his opinion, misrepresenting his platform. They were misrepresenting who he was. They were attacking his character. Our nation was in a very difficult moment and in a very difficult time. And afterwards, he was interviewed by the media, and one of the journalists asked him, said, "How is it that you can stand and take what it is that you're taking? What's your response to all that?" And Truman said this: "Well, you know, this is an old political attack, an old political trick. If you can't convince them, then just confuse them." And guys, I want to tell you that in our world today, there is all types of people and philosophies and things that are infiltrating our churches that are meant to confuse and to try to trick us and to get us off into the weeds of things that are unimportant or to water down what the real true gospel is all about. I mean, it is amazing as you begin to look in this passage right here that we've been talking about over the last, I don't know if you realize it, we're in week three of Jesus over everything. We're in our third message. We still have another message to go in chapter one. We're gonna see four different things. And to be real honest with you, the passage that John just read, I mean, we could spend weeks in this passage. We could spend weeks in this passage. This passage in and of itself is full of all types of gold. We're not going to be able to do that. We're going to spend a few moments today looking at a couple of things having to do with what it was that was going on in that day, but also to encourage us for what it is that God has for us in this day. In the day in which Paul was writing, you'll remember he was in jail. He was in prison for preaching the gospel, preaching that Jesus was the Son of God who lived, who walked. He was in prison because he went to the Jews, he went to the Romans, and he would preach about Christ. And as that church, as a church would be formed, it would disrupt, the gospel would disrupt the society that it was settling into. Well, how did it disrupt it? Well, it began to turn over. The Jews began to try to come into a church as they were being won over. These Judaizers, as they were called, they would come into the church and they would say, okay, Jesus, but it was Jesus plus. You had to follow these specific dietary laws, you had to go through circumcision, you had to go through festivals and feast days. And Paul says, no, it's not Jesus plus anything. So that began to disrupt those synagogues, those places that he would go. And so he would leave and he would go start these house churches, and then people would begin to infiltrate them. But he also was in a Roman society. You remember that? And he would be preaching to a Roman society where the pagan gods were still active. I mean, and when I say active, highly thought of. We know that there are no gods other than the one true God. They're all idols, wood, hay, stubble, plastic, silver, gold, bronze. Psalms says that we become like them. We make them, they can't talk to us, we have to carry them around, and eventually we become like them, the scripture tells us. And so what they would say in that day with the Romans is they would say, hey, listen, it's all right for you to follow Jesus, but you can't just follow Jesus. Because when you just follow him, you're saying that he is over our gods. And we know that Jesus is over all gods. He is the one true God. So into this is what it is that Paul is preaching to. And how did he know this? Well, he knew it because Epaphras came to him. His protege, the one who he came to Christ under, Epaphras came to Christ under him. He came to him while he was in prison and said, hey, what do I do, Paul? And Paul says, well, we're going to go back and you're going to go back. I'm going to send this letter to you. And you'll remember, I want to catch you up just a little bit. You're going to remember that at the beginning of this letter, he says, hey, listen, Timothy and I, we've been praying for you. We pray for you all the time. But since Epaphras came, we've not stopped praying for you. And we're praying that you would have a greater knowledge and understanding and spiritual wisdom to notice what it is that is being said to you. We're praying that you'll begin to walk in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. This is the word that he gives to us today. It's not a different word. It's the same word. In a world where there are ideologies, there's philosophies, there are people who think there are many different ways, many different gods, we know that there's one true God. And what begins to infiltrate many times is Jesus plus even into the church. Jesus plus, and we know that that is a false teaching. And so with that, today, we begin to look, okay, well, this Jesus, who is he and what is it that he has done that deserves for us to have, for him to have all the praise and no one else to have? Pastor Ray Steadman, he was the pastor of a church in Palo Alto, California, Peninsula Bible Church. He was a long, long time pastor there. And he ended up, he no longer is alive, but he wrote about this. And in one of his messages, he said this. He said, Christians treat Jesus like the British treat their monarch. They treat them with great respect, but strip them of power and don't expect him to do anything but look good. Listen, this is not our Jesus. The Jesus that we proclaim, this is not just a series title. Jesus is over everything. Over everything this passage just spoke. Today we're talking about, it's all about Jesus. And I want to say this to you. If Jesus is over everything and everything is about Jesus, how we act, how we behave, tells what we believe. Does that make sense? What we do says what we believe. It's not just what we say. What we say is going to be reflected in what we do and how we walk and how we live and what we say is important. What we say, my stepfather used to always say, hey, don't do as I do as I say. You may have heard that before, jokingly. Well, listen, what we do is exactly what we believe in the scripture. And today there's two scriptural truths, two truths, biblical truths, I believe, that we can see out of this passage. It's a long passage. There's two that I want you to catch today that I want to hone in on. And the first one is this, is that Jesus is over the physical creation. Jesus is over the physical creation. Most Bible scholars, many Bible scholars, most theologians, many theologians believe verses 15 through 17 is a hymn. Now, we don't know if Paul wrote the hymn or if it was one that was already circulating, but they believe this was a hymn. And I want you to listen as I read it. If you've got your Bible, I'd love for you to be able to see it, or you can see it on the screen. Here's what he says. We're going to read this again. He, talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Listen, there's an artist named Andrew Peterson. Some of you may have heard of him. He has a song called All Things, and all it is this song. It is a hymn. It is a song of praise. And I would encourage you go and look at it. We'll try to figure out how to post that later in the men's and women's pages. That's a little plug for you to go ahead and download and QR code. But we'll get that out there because I'd love for you to hear and see that song. There's an ancient philosopher, a Roman philosopher, writer. His name is Pliny the Elder. Pliny, P-L-I-N-Y, Pliny the Elder. In fact, he is given credit for being the man who wrote the very first encyclopedia. You know what anybody remember what an encyclopedia was? Okay. who wrote the first encyclopedia. There are letters that he has written to the Roman Emperor Trajan in which he details out and says specifically that the Christians sing songs about Jesus being God. They sing songs about being God. This is probably one of those songs that they would sing. You see, these songs, these verses, they became like a teaching, a catechism, a creed to help them to know and to learn and to be able to state, this is who Jesus is. This is what we believe about Jesus, because it began to help to delineate and distinguish between true followers of Jesus and those who were false teachers. With that, I'm going to give a shameless plug. Wednesday nights, we're doing a class. We're teaching a class on the Apostles' Creed. And I would love to get you to come and to be a part of it. In fact, you can go to something right after this. Shannon Stevens will be leading a class down in the family room covering the Apostles' Creed. We think this is so important. We're teaching it in multiple places and multiple avenues. So I'd encourage you, if you can't come on Wednesday, you jump in on Sunday and you be a part of it. Because we want you to understand who is Jesus. In the day in which we live, the pluralistic society that we live, where people are screaming out, follow him, follow her, do this. Yes, you can have Jesus, but you got to have Jesus plus this. Or if you're talking about Jesus, you're a bigot. We want you to know who is Jesus and why does he demand what he demands for us and on us. Verse 15 starts out, Paul writes, and he opens up and he says this. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. If you've got a pen, circle image. The word image there in Greek is eikone. Eikone. Which, does it sound like the word icon that we have today? It means a perfect imprint, an engraving. Did Jesus not say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? If you hear me speak, I only speak what I hear the Father. He says, he is the image of the invisible God. Genesis chapter 1, Moses is speaking, and he says that man, he's, in case you didn't realize that, Moses is the one who wrote Genesis, okay? He's writing, and he says that man is distinct from all the created order. Man is distinct from all the created order. The reason that he is distinct is because he is created in the image of God. Man was created in the image of God. Now, listen, we're very much like animals that we have a physical body, right? But we're also very much unlike animals because we reason and we think. I'm going to get off into high weeds for just a second, just a statement. I don't know that Arwen is my dog. I don't know that Arwen's going to be in heaven, all right? Will there be dogs and cows and animals and all those in heaven? Yeah, the scripture tells us there's new heaven and new earth. But I don't know that Arwen will. You know why? Arwen doesn't have a soul. I'm open to the fact, though, that if God wants to take Arwen to heaven, I'd be very open to that. And Katie, and Butch, and Lady, and whoever your dog is, or cat, or cow, your hamster. But I need you to hear, we are distinct. We're distinct because we reason, we think. We're able to create. Now, when we create, we don't speak creation the way God spoke creation. We take his created order and we rearrange it and we're able to utilize it so that we have dominion. That's why we're different. God gave us the ability to have dominion over creation. So you think about the water wheel creating electricity. Think about nuclear fission that creates electricity. Think about the ability to bore holes through mountains so that trains can go through them, yet they don't crash down. Think about the ability to be able to drill under the English Channel so that you can go back and forth. Think about your cell phone. Look, no wires. How do I talk to you, and how does all that work? This is how we are like God. He's given us the ability to have dominion. This is the image of God over and on you. This is why all humans deserve dignity, because they are created in the image of God. Yet we also know not all humans are the children of God. Only those who have surrendered their life to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Jesus was fully God, 100% God, 100% man. He was truly God, truly man. Jesus isn't a prophet. He's not a prophet, as Islam teaches. Jesus is not a guru, as the Hare Krishnas like to say. Jesus is not a created being, and we're going to get there in just a moment. Jesus is not a created being, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say. Jesus is not the brother of Satan, as the Mormons teach. He's not one of many ways, as the Hindus teach. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is the image, the perfect representation of the invisible God. If you want to know what God is like, if you want to know how is it that God is loving and kind, how is it that he is always reaching out, how is it that his character is the way that, how he expresses himself, you know how we do, how we know about that, and how we understand it, how we have a visible representation of it? It's in Jesus. The invisible became visible in Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul wants them to begin to understand. He wants them to understand that Jesus is the image, the exact imprint, the radiance that Hebrews talked about of God. This is who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is. Paul also says in verse 15 that he is the firstborn of creation. He's the firstborn of creation. Now, many cults, like the Jehovah's Witness, say that he was the very first created being, the one who was the firstborn one. The term firstborn in the original language of the New Testament, in case you don't know, the New Testament was written in Greek. It was not written in English. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. And this word, firstborn, has a couple of meanings to it. It can be translated as literally like chronology. Like, I am the firstborn child of Carol. That's my mom's name. I'm the firstborn. I have a sister. She's the second born. It can mean chronology, but it also can mean in the original language of Greek, it can mean title and rank. It means title and rank rather than chronology. So you say, well, Kyle, get me there. Okay, you've told me this. Get me there. Psalm 89:27. Psalm 89 is a psalm that talks about the messianic king whose father is Yahweh, the God, Yahweh, the one true living God. And in Psalm 89:27, the psalmist is speaking about David, and he calls David the firstborn. He calls David the firstborn. Now, we know David was not the firstborn, right? He wasn't the firstborn of his daddy. He was the youngest at the time. He was the youngest. What he's saying here is that David is the premier, the top, the chosen one who is the king of Israel, that the line of the Messiah will come through. He wasn't even the first king, was he? Saul was the first king. But he says, no, he is the chosen king through which the line of the Messiah will come. And what he's saying here is that Jesus is first of importance. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the ruler over all rulers. Why? Because he is the perfect imprint of the invisible God. If you have seen me, Jesus said, you have seen the Father. He says he's the image. He's the firstborn. Verse 16 goes on and says this. Paul declares, he says that Jesus is the creator of all things. All things. I want to make sure that you hear this. All things find their origin in Jesus. This is what that passage speaks to. All things find their origin in Jesus. All things were created by him and for him. Folks, this is why this is so important for you and me as followers of Jesus to understand this. What we do, if we proclaim Jesus, we don't do things for ourselves. We do them for him. We were created by him and for him. to proclaim his excellencies. People today look around and they see creation. And let me say this. The older I get, the more enamored I am with creation. My wife loves creation. She worships through creation. She doesn't worship creation, but she worships through creation. Me, the older I get, the more I have come to appreciate and go, Lord, how did you do that? By the word of his mouth, the spoken word of his mouth. He's the creator. He's the one who created. Yet so many people refuse to acknowledge that there was a creator. Because when you acknowledge there was a creator, that means there is someone greater and you have to come under that rule. I mentioned this on Wednesday night in our class. So if you were there, you're going to get a little second dose of it. But, you know, scientists describe in ways of the Big Bang. Basically, that there was a Big Bang, an explosion, and life began, and there was the outward force that basically I evolved from primordial slime. That may help you understand me a little bit better. That this is how things began to happen, that I evolved from animals, from single-celled organisms. But I want you to know, if that is true, then life is really meaningless, because that means there is no higher authority. There is no higher God. That means that there was no purpose to creation, which means that what I desire, if I'm the strongest, can rule over what you desire and what you think is right and good. I want to be careful with definitive language, but I'm going to use it. I don't see any mathematical probability that we just happened. We could not have just happened. There had to be an intelligent designer and creator who spoke us into being, who created us, the scripture says. You know, it takes more faith to believe in chance than I believe that it does in God. You have to suspend reality. You know, you think about being where you are right now, and it feels like you are sitting still, doesn't it? Some of you may go, no, I felt the world, it's been spinning since I sat down in here. But it feels like you're just sitting still. You realize that our earth is hurling through space at 67,000 miles an hour. That the rotation of the earth is more than 1,000 miles per hour. Does that blow your mind? Yet, we're told that some of you are old enough to remember 55 saves lives, don't speed. That we're told, don't speed because it'll kill you, but yet if this planet stopped, you would burn up. The speed at which it is set, you realize that we're in the prime zone of our universe. Literally, we're in the prime zone. If we were a literal hair or two forward, we would burn up. If we were a hair, literally, hair or two further away, we would freeze. I'm so thankful for the Hubble telescope. I'm doubly thankful for the Webb telescope. But you know what it does, don't you? It proves that there was a designer, a creator who spoke this into being. Who is it? Who is it? It's the image of the invisible God. It's the one who was the firstborn, the preeminent of all creation, the one who actually did the creating. Psalm 19 says this. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the works of his hand. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 goes on and it says this, that he is over all thrones, he's over all dominions, he's over all rulers, he's over all authorities. All things were created by him, through him and for him. You know what that means? Even those that Epaphras came and spoke to Paul about, they said, there's these folks, they're trying to bring false teaching in. Trajan, Nero, any ruler that you want to list today, any king, any ruler, any despot, do you realize the scripture says that he is over them? He's over them. And here's what I want you to hear. You know, sometimes you may think and you may look at the news, you may read the reports, you may even come in here sometimes and go, man, Kyle talks about the desperate need of our world today. Here's what I want you to hear today. Did you realize because Jesus is over all of this, the church will be victorious? That should bring you some comfort that we can stand in the midst of what we're facing today because we're going to be victorious because he's the one who's over all of it. He created it. All the dominions, all the rulers, all the authorities, he's over all of them. He created them for himself, by him, and for him. This is what the scripture teaches us. Verse 17 says that he isn't just the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. He created it and he sustains it. One theologian wrote this and said, he's the one who keeps the cosmos from becoming chaos. Did you realize that we are able to even be here today in the moment that we're in with everything that's going on only because Jesus is sustaining us? Folks, if you're writing down, circling, he's the image, he's the firstborn, he's the creator, he's the sustainer, he's over all. Folks, I don't know about you, that should bring us some comfort in knowing, yes, okay, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know I can face today. I can stand up. I can walk. Though my family feels messed up, I can stand up because he's going to sustain it. He's going to sustain me. You may feel disillusioned, upset. You may feel like your financial world's... He is over all. He created all. He knows where you are, and he's going to sustain you through that. He sustains me through that. So not only is he over the physical creation, but he's also over, number two, the spiritual creation. Jesus is also over spiritual creation. This is the second truth I want you to see. When I mention spiritual creation, I'm talking about the church. Look at verses 18 and 19 in Colossians 1. Verse 18 and 19 say this, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. There's that word again, the rank, the first, the highest, okay? He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Notice in verse 18, Paul calls Jesus the head of the church. You remember back in Matthew 16, 18? That's a verse you want to write down, Matthew 16, 18. Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they're all calling out, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ. And Jesus said upon that confession right there, Jesus is speaking. He says, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, folks, I need to ask you this question. This is not rhetorical. This is talk back time. Whose church is this? Are you convinced of that? Whose church is this? This is Jesus' church. And this church will prevail. It will prevail if 20 of you leave tomorrow. It will prevail if 300 of you leave tomorrow. It will prevail if all of you stay and 1,000 come and I leave tomorrow. This church is not dependent on anyone but Jesus. Please, thank you. Yes. This is his body. And Paul goes on and he talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, he says again, Jesus is the head of the church. This is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about the church being Jesus' body. You know, out of everything, out of all of this here that we're talking about, we can look and think, and I think it is amazing to think about humpback whales, eels, about dinosaurs. I think it's incredible when I think, one day I hope to be able to put my eyes on Mount Everest. I don't want to climb it, but I would like to see it. all of the things that he has done, how he has created the physical world, how he sustains it. But you know what's even the greater miracle? Is that he has redeemed a people for himself. He called us. He's about renewal. He is about redemption. How is that? Because he is the firstborn of the dead. He is the first. He is the supreme. He is the one who is resurrected, not resuscitated. You know what resuscitation is, don't you? Dylan's fireman. He goes to a fire. There's a man out here or a woman out here, and they pass out. He resuscitates them. They're going to die again. Jesus rose again and is still alive today. Did y'all hear that? I mean, he is resurrected. He is the firstborn from the grave. And because of his death, because of his resurrection, because of his ascension, because he is on the throne today, you realize we can be victorious as followers of his. Why? Because he sustains us, because we've trusted the gospel. We've surrendered our lives. We're under the blood of Christ. This is what he's called us to. And then he places us in a body, the church, that he created for us to be able to walk, to live, to be a visible presence. Now, when you came to Jesus Christ, you were placed into his body. His body called the universal church. The people who have trusted Jesus from the day in which he went to heaven and how he applied salvation to those in the Old Testament, it was by faith. Those and forward, and any of those who will come after you and me, we're a part of the universal church. But the scripture, the New Testament, Jesus says, I've created this church. Paul talks about what it looks like to be a part of a local body. Do you know what the local body is? It is the physical manifestation of the universal body. This is why that you don't find, it is not biblical for a believer in Christ to not be connected and committed to a local body of Christ. See, he places us there so that we might live out all the scripture has, so that we walk in one another's lives, we encourage one another, we sing songs to him, we minister to one another, so that the world that is outside of us go, that's different, I want that. And we become a gospel people who are able to say, well, it's only by the power of Jesus. He's changed us. And because of that, we want to walk. You know, God's always, he created a people so that he might walk with them. You remember in Genesis, don't you? The scripture says that he created mankind, then he created man and woman, and he walked with them. They talked together in the cool of the evening. Then sin came into the world. And because of sin, that walking, that dwelling, that fellowship was broken and marred. But God has always wanted to walk with his people and be with his people. And so at the right time, when Moses, the one he chose to go and redeem the people out of bondage, when he went and they were traveling through the desert, he said, listen, I want you to make a tabernacle, a dwelling for me, so that I might be in the middle of my people. Yet he didn't live there forever, did he? He came and he went. He came and he went. How did they know that? Because the glory of the Lord would overcome that place. They would see the smoke. They would see the, when it was time to move, it's a cloud by day and a fire by night. There he went. He's no longer here. Yet he still wanted to be. In fact, David, the firstborn, the high ranking, the one whom the Messiah was going to come through, David said, I want to build you a house. He said, that's a great thought, but that's not going to be you. It's going to be your son Solomon. David got all the supplies because he wanted to build a place. He knew God wanted to dwell with his people, and so Solomon built the most grand place. And God dwelt in this little room. His presence, the Ark of the Covenant. This was the presence of God. Now, did he come off the throne? No, it was the Spirit of God, the presence of God that dwelt there. Yeah, what happened in AD 70 when it crushed. It went away. So what happened? Well, let me back up and get you to that. The scripture tells us that at the fullness of time, God sent his son, Jesus. God, the image, the perfect image of the invisible one, sent him to walk among his people. Because he wanted to, God with us, Emmanuel. He wanted him to walk with, he wanted to walk with his people. Yet they killed him and crucified him. After Jesus resurrected and he ascended 40 days later, who came? Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to take up residence. No longer did he come and go. No longer did he walk among. Now the fullness of God dwells in you. You are the temple of God. Paul says, don't you know you're the temple of God? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He walks with you. The image of the invisible now dwells in you. And the church is his presence here. What began with the creation of the heavens, the earth, the garden, and culminated in man, I want you to hear, the new creation began with man and will culminate in a garden and a place where we will walk again and see face to face and know and be known. This is what he's called. Yet I hear often, maybe you hear this, I really love Jesus, but I don't like the church. I've been hurt. A little church hurt. You ever heard that? And I want to be gentle on this, and I really mean this. I'm so sorry. I really am sorry. We're all broken people, and broken people say broken things, and they do things out of brokenness, and we should. We should. My prayer is that we're going to look more like Jesus every day in how we act and treat one another and walk with each other. But I need you to hear me. That does not excuse the fact that this is what Jesus ordained is the body. And when we forgive one another, when we walk with one another, when we trust one another, there is nothing left. This is how he has called us to make a difference for him. This is plan A. Make disciples, we be a church, and we live for him. We gather to worship him. This is what he's called us to. This is the plan, local bodies. So who's in it? Who's in it? Who gets to be a part of the local body? Who gets to be a part of what Jesus said he's going to do? The church. Look at verses 20 and 20 through 23. And through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated, an alien, a foreigner, hostile in your mind, doing evil deeds. Have you ever thought about yourself in that way? You were hostile in your mind, alienated, doing evil deeds. And he says, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless. I'm going to stop right there. And above reproach before him. Those of us who were alienated, hostile in our mind, doing evil things, he, by the body, his body, on a cross, has reconciled us, giving us hope and peace. He has to present us holy and blameless before God. This is what he has done. God came near so that we might be near to him. This is what he's done. Notice this, though. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a minister. This is you, follower of Christ. This is you. This is why we can stand, because we know in the difficult situation, Jesus is victorious, because his church is going to be victorious, because he started it. The gates of hell will not prevail. There's going to be a battle. There's a fight every day. But he is victorious. You don't have to win the battle. He already has. Notice that it says, though, he says, Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith. Now, I want you to hear me. That's not conditional. You can't fall out of something. If you're truly a follower, you know what? You will persevere all the way to the end. If you don't persevere all the way to the end. If you ever looked at somebody and said, I remember when they walked with Christ. I remember. I'm thankful that the measure of our life is always to the end. Because there have been points in my life where if you'd have looked at me, there was a specific point in my life where if you'd have looked at me, you would have gone, does he really follow Jesus? But thanks be to God. The Lord opened my eyes. I remember where I was laying in a bed, literally laying in a bed, with not at a buddy's house. We had moved in together. I was living far from the way I needed to. And I remember waking up in that morning and the Lord saying, you're not who you said you are. What you've surrendered to, who you say is king, you're not living that way. I got out of bed. I stripped the sheets off my bed. I took all the clothes that were on hangers. I went like this. Threw them in the sheet, tied them up, put them in the back of the truck, and I never went back. Folks, today, some of you are dancing with the darkness, and I need you to hear me. The Father of Lights is saying, this is not who you are. You come home. Come home. Some of you today, you're so weighted down, and Jesus says, you're going to be victorious. Why? Because I, the living God, the perfect image of the invisible came. I created you. I created the situation you're in. You're going to be victorious. I'm going to sustain you right where you are. I've put you in a body where there are believers, where there are brothers, there are sisters who love you. Listen, don't discount when we gather on Sunday morning and we sing to the Lord. In just a little while, we're going to baptize a seventh or eighth grade little girl who gave her life to Jesus at camp, who you've been baptized into this body. We walk with you. We love you. We want to be there to stand with you. This is what he's called us to. This, he's created the physical. He's created the spiritual. So Kyle, what does all this do? I mean, what do I do with it? In Bible study, we say, so what? So what now? Well, I hope that you've been hearing a few things that you can persevere. You can stand strong. Don't bail. Don't walk away. If we walk away, the question is did we ever, we didn't ever knew him. I mean, think about Peter. He had a struggle. He denied Christ and he came to him and said, I love you. He said three times, I love you. And he said, then feed my sheep and follow me. Today, he's looking at you, the Spirit of God who lives within you. You've been running. He's saying, come home. Come home. Come home. You can make it today. Some of you, last week, we had 17, 18 people who were involved in our membership class. Some of you, you need to be involved. This needs to be your body where you plant your life. You become a member of this place where we can walk with you, where we can love you, where we can come alongside you. Some of you need to begin now to go, God, I'm certain of the hope that I have in you. I'm not wishful thinking. I don't know how this is going to end, but my hope is in you, Jesus. Guide me. Give me what I need. And I promise you, he will. He will sustain you. I think the low-hanging fruit is join a group. Get in the body. Get in the Word. You realize there's no magic potion. There's no twinkle of the nose, pull of the ear. No rub the magic lamp. It's read the Holy Word. Obey it. Apply it. Believe it that he loves you and will sustain you. Jesus, I thank you. I'm asking that your word would do the work for which it was sent forth today. I thank you for this body of believers. And I'm asking, God, that you would save people today. I'm asking that you would call them to join, to be a part of this body. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, would you bring encouragement? I thank you that you dwell within us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. I'm asking that wherever someone is today, would you remove the crutch that they've put in their life? All the excuses, would you get them to the point that they see only you and you save them and they respond in obedience? I thank you, Father, that you love us. You don't leave us. We don't have hoops we have to jump through. We let you walk in our lives and change us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. I'm going to ask that you stand. We're going to sing in response. I'm going to be standing right down here. If you want someone to pray with you, I want to be here. If you want to know how to give your life to Christ, I will be here. When Zion closes us out, I'll be back at the back, and I would love to talk with you there about what this, maybe you got more questions. I will be there to walk with you. Zion, come and lead us.